It's not just the Bible that has all these beautiful stories of people. No, you can do awesome things for God. So we believe that, but it's time to act on that, right? And if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you got to what? What does the Bible say? To be great, you must, anybody know? Serve, right? You got to get out there. We're a church that loves to serve. We go out to the colonias, the community, food bank, and we just want to be out of these walls. Because you got to take action to be great. You got to believe in yourself, right? You got to believe in yourself. And number two, second week we talked about, you got to believe in others. You got to believe. God loves even your enemy. And God even believes that your enemy can be great if they surrender all to Him. You got to believe in others. Other people can become great. No matter what you see, you may walk, see somebody one day, like, they'll never amount to anything. That's what the enemy says. For God, everyone is an important part of the body that fits together to be doing great things for Him. You just got to believe in yourself, believe in others. It's time to believe that God has a plan for you. And it's a beautiful plan. And as long as you're breathing, and some of us, we're breathing, you're here, then it's not over till God says it's over. There's a plan for you to play a part in something bigger than yourself. And so whenever you get an opportunity to serve, like the food bank, it's like you're a little piece of one station that just puts groceries and a few cans here. But it's a small piece that you play in some bigger piece, right, of providing food for a family for about 2 weeks of worth of food and helping them with their bills or whatever they need the help with. You got to believe in God's plan for you. He's got a good plan for you. He's got a good plan. And last week we talked about you got to believe in grace. And of course we all believe in it, right? But when you really believe in grace, you take action of appreciation, right? You read your Bible, you pray, you come to church like you faithfully do, right? And you just take action, and life isn't always going to go right. It's not always going to go perfect. There's going to be ups and downs. We make mistakes. We need to straighten things out in our lives. But His grace is sufficient for us. His grace is awesome. And today I want to talk, you hear the words grace and mercy together a lot. Today I want to focus in on mercy. You got to believe in mercy. In mercy. In mercy. Don't forget to write a thought down on your notes and to pray about it. Don't just come to church and listen and then go home and do whatever you want, right? Like the world does. Keep a daily walk with Him. Keep a note. This is how God speaks to you, through listening, through praying, absorbing. So take notes and take it home with you and pray about it. It's time to believe. Here's the main point that I put on your notes at the very top. Be appreciative and grateful for God's mercy. Let's repeat that after me. Be appreciative and grateful for God's mercy. And give mercy to others, so great mercy will be on you. We're going to learn that today, about those two things. Open your scriptures to John chapter 8, verse 1. John chapter 8, verse 1. This is a famous story that defines mercy so well. So let's read it together. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down, and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in the adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, tempting him, and that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and he wrote with his finger on the ground, as though he had heard them not. So we know by this scripture that the Pharisees and Sadducees were trying to trap Jesus into breaking the law of Moses, because they knew that he wasn't going to stone her. They just knew his character. They knew about his character. They knew that he wasn't just going to go stone. But they knew the law of Moses, that we got him. We got him trapped. If he doesn't follow the law of Moses, everybody's going to turn against him. And Jesus just ignores them, right? I'm sure he's trying to think, right? But he's acting as if he didn't hear a thing. And let's read on. So they continued asking him. He lifted up himself and he said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." So he threw it back at them and said, "If you don't have sin, go ahead." And again, he stooped down and he started writing on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went one by one out, beginning with the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus left alone and was there standing in the midst. What a visual, right? Jesus was the only one left in the crowd. He was the only one left that didn't stand back, because he was sinless. And he could have cast the stone, and it would have been just. Justice. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You know, the Bible's true. God and sin don't mix. And sin equals death. Jesus could have thrown the stone. He was there standing, innocent. He could have shown the whole world, "I'm sinless, I can cast this stone." But that's not what he did. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." This is the ultimate story of mercy. She deserved to be stoned, but mercy. 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 We deserve to be dead. But mercy has us breathing here today. Grace and mercy. I think it's important to define, because they're used so interchangeably. But let me try to give you some examples to separate the two a little bit. Grace, and here's your first underline on your note. Hint, hint, if you haven't been following along, we're on the first underline. Grace is receiving something good when you do not deserve it. For example, because of God's grace, we will rule and reign with Him and dance on the streets of gold one day, because He's good and His grace. We don't deserve that. We don't deserve to be part of His kingdom and rule and reign with Him and dance on the streets of gold. We don't deserve that, but because of His grace, we will inherit this as sons and daughters of the great I Am. Grace is getting something good given to you, or a privilege given to you, like the privilege of being a child of God, and you don't deserve it. That's grace. We're going to be giving the kingdom and rule and reign with Him when we're done with this earth, which we all will be. I don't know if you realize this, you younger ones, you will die, right? When we get older, we want the rapture to happen faster. Right, we want the rapture to happen yesterday because we're getting older, right? But the truth is, one way or another, our carnal, physical body will cease to exist at some point in the future. Can't run away from it, can't change it. They're trying to, right, to live longer and better health and better medical. But it's coming. But His grace is there. You don't deserve it, but it's there. You're going to receive the benefits of being a child of God. So you got that grace, right? Awesome privilege. That's why it's called, last week we defined it as what? Unmerited favor, right? Unmerited favor, grace. So what is mercy? So mercy, so your first underline was what? Grace is receiving. So put receiving in that line. Now mercy is what you do, is what you do not, is when you do not get punished when you rightly deserve it. Mercy is when you do not get punished when you rightly deserve it. So example, when you lied to your mom or dad that day, remember that day? Or days? That you lied to your mom and your dad about where you were going. Some of you are hiding right now, you're hiding. You did not die because of the, during that lie. God didn't strike you dead, although it was just, because the wages of sin, and lying is a sin, is death. You didn't die because God's mercy. Mercy. Because the wages of sin is death. We all deserve to be dead. Because of God's mercy, we live. So live for Him. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. I wrote a quote down, and I didn't write it on the notes. I should have, but let me. I think I wrote it down on my phone here. So let me grab that real quick. The fact that you are saved is grace. The fact that you are not dead because of your sin is mercy. I like that. I came up that with my own, by the way. I didn't read that anywhere. So I'll sell it to you. $1 each. You can use it. I'm just kidding. That was a joke, please. Don't tell everybody I'm charging. Ephesians, what does the Bible say about mercy? Ephesians chapter 2. You've heard me, and let's go into some scriptures real quick. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is what? Rich in mercy. That means He likes to give it out. God enjoys giving out mercy. Good for us, right? Very good for us. He's rich. He has a lot of it. He loves, He gives it out. But, you know, God's Spirit won't always strive with man, right? There's limits. So mercy. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us. So He gives us mercy. He loves us. He loves us so much. He wants us to live a abundant life here on earth. And He wants us to rule and reign with Him forever. Even when we were dead in sins, He hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. So by grace we're saved and have unmerited favor. By His mercy, our bad deeds or our sins, we don't receive the punishment that we're due to us, that we deserve. So James chapter 5 verse 11. James chapter 5 verse 11. What does the Bible say about mercy? James chapter 5 verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender, and of tender mercy. I like the word tender in front of mercy here, because it kind of shows you when God's mercy is given out to us, it's in the form of tenderness. He's careful with us. He wants us, at the same time, He wants us to learn, right, from our mistakes. But He's tender in His mercy. He's forgiven and He's tender. He's coming all at it from the perspective of love. Of love. Right? So you notice that there are consequences to sin in life, right? And not every time does God allow His mercy to forgive, to make sure you don't get the consequences. Sometimes, because of His love, you have to endure the consequences of sin. so we can learn, right? Just like any parent. Parents, when your child did something wrong, you had to follow through on the discipline, or else they would do it wrong over and over and over, right? And God treats us with that tender mercy. But parents, you know, there's those times when you just kind of backed off on the punishment a little bit, but you still had to make a point. You know what I'm talking about, right? I'm not? Okay. You had to make a point. God does the same thing with us. He loves us. He backs off on the punishment and gives us mercy, but he still needs us to learn a lesson. And he's very tender about it. Picture him just as a heavenly father, heavenly a parent, just tenderly wanting us to learn and yet wanting us to be safe, to be okay. It's good to put that human touch to it, because we know we're humans and he's God. We can't understand him, right? But he does love us, and we can get a glimpse of that love when we compare it to love we understand, like parents, right? So the Bible says he's very tender, gives us tender. He's very tender in how he does this. Luke chapter 6, verse 36. Luke chapter 6, verse 36. The Bible, what does the Bible say about mercy? Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. We're going to jump back to that one. Just hold it right there with your finger. Let's go to Titus chapter 3 real quick. Verse 5. I'll start in verse 4. But after the kindness of love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We're not righteous. We're not perfect. We're not. Our works isn't why God gives us mercy. We may think, I'm going to get more mercy because I'm nicer, or I'm a better person, or I do more work for his kingdom than you do, so I'm going to get more mercy than you. You got it wrong. You can't work your way to salvation. You can't work your way through mercy. Right? But the Bible does tell us he's merciful. See, the work that you do for God's kingdom is out of love and out of obedience. Not to get things back from God, although he will bless you. But the reason we serve and the reason we work for the kingdom of God in whatever area, when we do barbecue plate sales and you all have to help with the beans and the rice and the work you do for the church or this or that, all that stuff is just part of joy of working in his kingdom and joy of serving. But because of the work, you don't get saved. And because of the work, you don't just get forgiven. But I do want to touch on, if we go back to Luke chapter 6, I want to hit this point here for a little bit. Luke chapter 6, verse 36. Be merciful, and the Father is also merciful to you. When you give people who don't deserve mercy, there are people who have wronged you. There are people who haven't been nice to you. There are people who have done you wrong. And when you give them mercy, it's okay. You let it go. Don't hold grudges. When you give out mercy, guess what the Bible says? You will receive abundant mercy. That's a pretty big little jewel in God's word. If you can get a grasp of it, and this is why Christians are different than the rest of the world. The rest of the world says, you did me wrong, you're going to get it. Right? You are going to get it. You're going to... But Christians who get these concepts and believe them and act upon them, not just believe them, but act upon them. You did me wrong. I'm going to give you mercy about it. I'm going to let it go. Because I want God to forgive me for all the wrong that I've done. There's some wrong that you've done yet you still haven't confessed. I want God to be merciful to me. It's time to believe in mercy in that way. Believe in mercy knowing that the more you forgive people and give mercy to people even though they've wronged you and they don't deserve it, the more you give them that, the more God's going to give you mercy. The more He's going to give you favor. The more He's going to give you things that you've been praying for and the things you've been believing in. So the two main points about mercy from the scriptures. Number one, God is good and His mercy is amazing. Amazing. That's not my phone, is it? Okay. Somebody's phone. It's okay. Take your time. That happens to me every once in a while in meetings at work. It's embarrassing. Oh, I don't know what's going on. I was listening to something on the radio and it comes up. God is good and His mercy is amazing. And the second point I want to just kind of emphasize, be merciful. Give out mercy to others so great mercy will be on you. Let me reemphasize that by going to Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 7. It's time to believe in mercy. You know the Beatitudes, right? Matthew chapter 5, where he says, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are this and that. It's nice to read, so let's just read 1 and then we'll stop at 7. I love the Beatitudes, they're really nice. And Jesus saw the multitudes in verse 1 of chapter 5. He saw the multitudes and He went up to the mountain, and when He sat there with His disciples, they came to Him. He opened His mouth and He taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in this case meaning humble, right? Humble in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You want to be filled with God? Be hungry and thirst. And the last one I want to cover, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Give out mercy to others, so great mercy will be upon you. The Bible is clear that when you give out mercy to others that have wronged you, you in turn will receive great mercy from God. This concept goes hand in hand with the concept of forgiving others as God has forgiven you. God's biblical principle is that when you show others mercy and forgiveness and grace and love, you will be abundantly blessed. Trust it, believe it, it works. Like the concept of tithing. Trust it, believe it, it actually works. These biblical principles, they're jewels that Christians who really believe, they act on these things. Right? Not because the church needs money or the pastor needs money. God will take care of that. Right? That part of it. Paying the bills. And I mean, I can tell you story after story when this church was down to like $0 in the bank and we didn't know how to pay for the next bill. I can tell you story after story of how God sends somebody. Let me just tell you one story just so that you... It's acting on what we believe is important, not just believing it. But there was a time when we were very low in our finances and the treasurer was like, we don't have any more money to pay the bills probably next month, so what are we going to do? And I was just like, well, when God says it's time to cut, it's time to cut. For the next 6 months, God sent somebody to our church that gave money enough and over to cover the bills. And this person, I had lunch with this person trying to figure out, hey, you're coming to church? What do you, you know what he told me? He said this. He said, I really don't want to do much in the church. God's called me to go find places to go tithe that need help. This true story. He came and he tithed. After 6 months, the church grew. The tithing was enough to pay for the bills. Bye-bye. He left. It's an amazing story of how God works. God's got it. He's not confused. And when he left, we had more money in the bank than when he got here. And it wasn't just him, but you get the point. It was part of God honoring his end as far as when we are obedient and dependent on him and trusting him. And even in our finances and I was talking about finances here, but it goes along with when you trust him and give out mercy, he's going to pour it back on you. If you trust him and forgive others, you're going to be blessed. If you trust him and just follow these principles with action, then you're catching on to some jewel gem that not all Christians get in their whole life. Mercy to others, forgiving others. It works. It works. I put it right there in your notes in big capital letters. It works. These principles work. Principle work. Time to believe in mercy by, last point. Time to believe in mercy. Before we get there, if you need God to move on your behalf, go and find someone to give mercy to. I like that. Like, I remember Pastor Green used to say that whenever he was needing some finances, he's like, I need to tithe. Where can I tithe? More offerings. Like, wow. That's faith, right? And sure enough, God would always come through. It works. The principles work. Because why? Why does it work? It's God's word. And it's God's character. It works. So if you made a mistake or you sinned, maybe some of you in here are like, I know God's going to get me for that one. The best way to receive mercy concerning your sins and things in your life that need to be straightened out is to start loving people. Give mercy out. Serve them. Help them. And God's going to help you amazingly. Find people to bless. Find people to bless. So last point, time to believe in mercy by taking action to show your appreciation and gratitude or gratefulness. Either one works. Appreciation and gratitude about God's great mercy towards you. So how are you going to do it? How are you going to go show appreciation and gratitude for the great mercy God has given you? What are you going to do? That's not for me to answer. Maybe you should write that down in your notes. I'm going to show my appreciation and gratitude by do something to start showing how you believe in these principles and mercy. And number two, taking action and giving others mercy so you will receive mercy. Amen? You got it? I didn't get excited. I know I'm not the most exciting speaker, but I get excited because if we grasp these principles and start applying them to our lives, then you're putting into action God's blessing and favor and mercy in ways that you can't even imagine. But here's the deal. These things I'm talking about, you can't do them from your carnal, sinful nature. This is pretty big. This is getting deeper, but you're with me, right? You don't need milk. We can all handle the meat, right? These things I'm talking about, like, oh, just go give mercy to people, go forgive people, help people, love my enemies, do all this so God can pour all these blessings upon me. And you cannot do that in your carnal, sinful nature. This is where you need to be praying every day and asking God to fill you with His power, to fill you with His Spirit, to fill you with His character, to have that time like that song says, in that secret place, wrap me in your arms, Lord. Go home, find your secret place and say, Lord, I want to have this power to give mercy that only comes from your Spirit. I want to have this power that gives love, that helps people, that serves, that does things for others. I want to have the Holy Spirit empower me, because when that is the source of when all of this comes to play and starts working in your life. So don't try to just grab these concepts and try to do them in the carnal. They won't work. Oh, I'm just going to start, I forgive you because I want to get blessed over here. So I'm going to forgive you. I forgive you. You wronged me, but I'm going to give you mercy, and you do it with a carnal attitude. Right? That's not going to work. It's got to be real. People know when it's real. People know when it's real. Don't worry about it. Look, I need it. Don't worry about it. It's good. And they know when you mean that. And they know when you're just saying, don't worry about it, but you're really like, dude, you better pay me back. Right? That stuff, it can't be carnal is what I'm trying to say. It's time to believe in these principles. It's time to believe. So we've been going through this series, but really the bottom line about all of this as Christians, it's time to believe by taking the actions of someone who believes. Because I know if I say, give me a show of hands, how many of you believe in God's grace and mercy? Yeah, we all believe. But it's time to start acting on that belief. Amen. It's good. All right. I'm done. We're done early today. That's okay. Praise the Lord. We got a good word. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are patient with us, that your mercy and your grace is so great and awesome, and we have the privilege of being the children that you've chosen us to be your children. We are fortunate, Lord, to be the ones that you've counted as worthy, even though we know we're so unworthy. But Lord, we're so thankful and we appreciate your love. And it's time to believe, and it's time for us to act as Christians. And if it's time to serve, we'll serve. If it's time to act and give mercy, forgive others, Lord, we want to have your character. We want to have your love in our lives. So Lord, seal this in our hearts. As we walk out these doors and we go on to tackle the week, we know that you called us to be different. We know that you called us to not to be like the world. You told us to be a light in the world of darkness. And these things, these characteristics, these principles, when we begin to act on them, we definitely will shine like a bright light in the world of darkness. So Lord, seal it in our hearts. We want to go out, be different. It's time to believe. Time to believe in mercy and grace. Time to believe in ourselves. Time to believe in others. It's time to believe in the great plan you have. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.